Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as you'll hear, as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Welcome to Christ in All Things. My name is Pastor Jason Schockman.
And I am Pastor Lance O'Donnell. We are here today with a very special guest, Ruth Polcha, and we're going to have you give your full name in a minute. And Ruth is just had a birthday not too long ago, and that was her 101st birthday. And we're here with her daughter, Kathy Miller, to help, who is helping along. But We're as we said off the air a minute ago, we've been very eager to talk to you. You're the second person who's a centenarian that we got to meet and talk. And this is going to be it's going to be a treasure for us, and I suspect for your family in the future. So, Ruth, thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
it's my pleasure.
Good. Pastor Schockman is going to start with we have two questions for you. We're going to start with the first one. I'll let Pastor Schockman lead that question.
So, Ruth, our first question is always, what is your name, and what's the story behind why you were named that? My follow-up is, do you know what it means?
Well, my whole name is Ruth Florence Esther Zender in German.
Yep. It's Ruth Florence Esther Zender. Do you know what those names mean?
Yeah, Florence was my sister-in-law, newly married to my brother. And Esther was a very dear friend of our family for years.
And I understand that they were your sponsors?
They were my sponsors.
Your baptismal sponsors.
My baptismal sponsor, yes.
And named after them. So Ruth comes from a Hebrew word that means friend.
I know, it's a Bible. Yeah. It's a Bible.
Yeah, and Florence is a Latin root to the name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought it sounded more French.
And it means blossoming or prosperous.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And Esther can have either a Hebrew or a Persian.
Or a Persian.
Yeah, and the Hebrew meaning is hidden.
Hebrew meaning is?
Hidden.
Hidden.
Like hidden, yep, like hidden behind something.
Oh.
And the Persian meaning is star.
A star.
Yeah, and Zender, your German last name, is very German. it is a surname, a family name, that means to send or to dispatch.
Well,
so your name in total, all of it put together,
means
you are a blossoming friend that is a hidden dispatch.
Oh, that sounds rather mysterious.
Doesn't it? And what we find, Ruth, as we learn of what people's name means, is as we get into the second part of our conversation, that sometimes, more often than not, those meanings of your name show up in the stories of your life.
Oh.
Yeah, which is fascinating for me. Ruth was your first name. Did they pick that name for any, your mom and dad, did they pick that name for any reason?
I have no idea.
Okay. And then Florence and Esther, we know, were friends
they
of
were
the family.
Friends. And a sister-in-law and
friends.
So the year, so you, are you the baby of your family?
I am.
Okay.
And one of your baptismal sponsors is actually your sister-in-law, and she's what? 18, 20 years older than you are?
Oh, she's a good 20 years older than
yeah.
I am.
And how much older was your brother that was her husband?
Oh, golly.
He was 22 years older.
22 years older.
He was a second son.
Okay. And he was the second. How many children in your family?
There were 11 of us.
11. Love it. And you're the baby of 11.
I'm the last one.
Okay.
Ruth, how many of your brothers became pastors?
Just one.
Just one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have some other church workers in the family?
Became a teacher.
Okay. And you grew up now as a Zender, for our listeners in Wisconsin might not know the story, but you grew up in Frankenmuth, Michigan, right? Isn't your family from Frankenmuth?
I didn't grow up in
Frankenmuth. You didn't grow up, your family moves, but you're a Zender that was originally from Frankenmuth.
Yes, my oldest brother, he was very familiar with Frankenmuth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lakewood, Ohio.
Okay, just outside of Cleveland.
Yes.
Indeed.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to that. Should we go to the second question now?
Well, I think we're there.
We're there already.
Yeah.
Okay. So second question that we ask is, and this will kind of take us through the rest of our conversation, is what are the top 3 to 5 things that formed you into the person you are? You know, what comes to mind for you is number
well,
one?
Well, what comes to my mind is, as a little girl, I remember sitting on my mother's lap, and we would have devotions at the supper table.
Okay.
After we finished supper, my father would have them.
Your father led the family devotions?
Yes, he did.
At the supper table. What did your dad do for a living?
He was a Lutheran school teacher.
He was a Lutheran school teacher.
For 50 years.
For 50 years. What did he teach?
He taught everything.
Of course, as a Lutheran school teacher.
In 50 years, that happens.
Yeah.
Devotions. And what's your father's name?
George. I forget.
Christian. Christian.
Christian. Oh, yeah. George Christian.
George. So was he actually George, the English version, or was he Georg?
Well, I don't remember calling him Georg.
Georg. So okay. Okay.
We called him Bruder for German, which is for brother.
Yeah.
So we use that terminology.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
Bruder. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that was your brother, Clement, the pastor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Called him Bruder.
And he became a pastor.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you were sitting on your mother's lap, and what's your mom's name?
My mother's name was Anna. Well, I forget her second name.
Marie.
Oh, yeah, Anna Marie. Her name was Siekemeyer.
Her maiden name.
Yeah, that's her maiden name.
So when we asked you, what are the top things that formed you as a human being, the first thing you said is family devotions.
Yes.
After dinner that are led by your father.
Yes.
And you remember sitting on your mother Anna's lap.
Yes.
And you got a little teary.
Thinking
about that. Why is that such a precious thing for you?
Why is it a precious name?
Or why is that memory so precious for you?
Well, because now my mother is gone. I was the last of 11.
Yeah.
So I didn't get all the, I'm not going to say attention, because my mother had her hands full with 11 kids.
Yes, she did.
But she managed.
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents were very, very devout people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, Ruth, that your father was he the sole breadwinner, or did your mother work some on the
side?
No,
my mother did not work.
So she was a homemaker.
She was a homemaker.
Taking
yes.
care of all
yeah.
these all these children. And
yes,
your dad
she
is
did.
A Lutheran school teacher. So
baked bread every Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Wednesday was bread day.
Pardon?
Wednesday was bread day. She made bread on Wednesday.
On Wednesdays.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The middle of the week.
So did your dad lead devotions every night at
yes,
dinner?
Yes, my father did.
Okay.
Yes.
And how long did he live?
Oh gosh, he was in his 80s.
Okay.
When he died, yes.
So he married you off, and he was there for all that,
yeah.
Even though you were the baby of the family. Okay.
Right.
So he lived a good long life. Okay.
He was in his 80s when he died, late 80s. Yeah.
So I mean, you're 101.
Right. Yeah.
And do you have any others in your family that lived that long or near that?
I think I had a sister, Lucia.
Yeah.
My oldest sister, she was 100 something. I think 103 or something.
Oh, did she really? Okay. Yeah. Where did Lucia live?
She lived in Cleveland.
In Cleveland. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So of the things that formed you as a human being, and is number one is your family devotions. And so
I would say so.
So every night.
Yeah.
And how did your dad do those family devotions? Did he read something, or did he just open up the Bible and read and pray? How did he do it?
He would read from the Bible.
Okay. Did he just kind of read through, like read through a gospel, or do you remember?
Well, when I was little, I didn't really probably pay attention too much.
Sure.
But he always read from Scripture.
Always read from Scripture.
Yeah.
And the whole family was gathered around.
All the ones that were still at home.
All the ones still at home. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, every time.
Yeah.
It was nice.
For what it's worth, for those of you listening, for your dads out there listening, that's a pretty good practice to take up.
Yes, it is.
Is devotions with your family.
It was nice. It was just nice, a nice feeling too.
We're gonna, later this year we're in season three of Christ in All Things. Later this year, we're gonna do a couple different episodes on one with little children, and we also have an episode planned called Liturgy and the American Teenager, and that is one of the things that I expect we're going to talk about is how helpful and important it is to for children to have a routine centered in the Word of Christ.
That's true.
Yeah, which was obviously deeply formative for you.
Yeah,
I wish that we had video for this. For when you started to talk about, because we could hear it in your voice, but it was also important to see it, see in your face how much that meant to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the second thing? If the most forming thing was family devotions, Ruth, what's the next thing, the second thing that really made you who you are?
Well, going to church and Sunday school.
And where was that?
That was in Lakewood, St. Paul Lutheran Church.
St. Paul's in Lakewood.
Yeah, which is now defunct.
Gone. Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the end. It was nice. Yeah, we had some wonderful pastors, and then we had one especially that was way out.
That happens.
Okay, when you say way out, Ruth, what do you mean?
Well, he didn't leave us with much, I would say, gospel.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. He just wasn't, I don't know, he wasn't that we, that we like to go and look forward to going. It just wasn't that interesting. And
okay. So, well, then let's not dwell on him.
No, right? Okay. Yeah. We'll forget
him. So let, but it actually provides a really good segue.
It does.
To,
okay.
Because you, number one, you said of the things that formed you is sitting around the family table at the end and your dad leading devotions. Number two is going to church and Sunday school at St. Paul, Lakewood. And
going to Lutheran school.
And going to Lutheran school.
Yeah.
Where your father taught?
Pardon?
Where your father was a teacher?
No, my father was a teacher in Cleveland.
He was a teacher in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Okay. So you didn't go to the school where your dad taught?
No, I didn't.
Ah, okay. Was he a middle school or elementary or high school teacher?
He was eighth grade teacher.
Eighth grade teacher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which, depending on the year of you know, U.S. history. That's either the first year of high school or the last year of middle school.
Yeah. Yeah, he taught on the east side of Cleveland.
Oh, he had to drive all the way over.
And they lived on the west
side. On the west side. Okay.
He got a ride with a gentleman that lived the next street over us who also worked on the east side. And so he would pick my father up every morning.
Oh.
So he had a ride over there.
And so did your mother drive?
No, my mother never drove.
Never drove?
No.
Okay, so how did you get to school?
We did a good amount of walking because
uphill both ways.
That one street, what was it? What was our school on? Lakeland? That was a long street from Madison all the way down to Detroit Avenue.
Okay. You had a hike.
We had a hike up from Lakewood. We were halfway up to Lakewood Heights Boulevard.
Yeah.
Up to Madison.
Long walk for
you. That was a long walk.
And so did you had a family car though, right? Or did you? Did you have a family car?
Well, I wouldn't say we had a family car until later in the years. My father learned to drive backing up and out of our driveway.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, he did.
Okay, he didn't have a car until later. How about that? Okay. So how did you get to church on Sunday?
My brothers all drove.
Oh, your brothers drove?
I had six brothers at one time.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, they all drove.
But your father, for when you were a little girl, wasn't driving yet.
He learned driving back and forth in our driveway.
Going up and down the driveway.
And where did your father go on Sunday mornings?
Oh, and he got a ride over to St. John's Lutheran Church, on the east side.
Where he served?
Yes.
Oh, and you guys went to a different church.
We went to St. Paul's in Lakewood.
So your family was going to different places.
Yeah, my dad would go to the east side, and my mother would also accompany him.
So your mother and the older siblings had to corral the kids while your dad was going to church where he served.
No, you missed that. Her mother went to church with her father on the east side.
Okay.
So for you kids.
We went to St. Paul's.
You kids all went to church together, the 11 of you.
Yes.
Or however many of them were home.
I had an older sister that was in charge of me in St. Paul's church.
So the kids went to one church and the parents went to another.
Yeah.
It's a whole new definition of kids' church.
Because what did your dad do at the church?
What, Kathy?
What did he do at St. John's Cable on Sunday?
Oh, he played the organ.
Oh, he was the organist over there.
Yeah, he was the organist. They took turns, the organists, all the school teachers.
The school teachers all took turns playing the organ.
Yeah, they played.
At the church school.
Yeah. At where he served. And that was what parish on the east side?
St. John's.
In what? In St. John's in Cleveland.
In Cleveland. Yeah.
Holy moly.
It was on, I forget what street
Cable.
It was on.
Cable Avenue.
Cable Avenue, yeah.
Is that church and school still there?
No, that's gone.
No,
long gone.
Either. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who was your sister that was in charge of you?
I had one sister, Elsa. She was always in charge of me.
Okay. And how old was Elsa compared to you?
Well, she was probably about 18, 19.
Oh, so she was in high school.
Yeah, she was in high school.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, she was 13 when you were born.
She was 13
when you were born.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
We had a large family.
So what do you? So you did not have your. This is really fascinating.
It is in many ways. There's so many things I want to ask.
So tell them what you did once after church. When everybody else went to Sunday school.
I walked home.
By yourself?
You didn't tell anybody?
Oh.
Oh. Did little Ruth get in trouble?
Well, they all thought I went with somebody else, see?
Oh, no.
They thought they went because my brothers and sisters sat with their friends.
Right.
In church because my mother and dad went to the east side.
Right.
So I walked home from church. I didn't go to church.
You didn't stay for church.
Pardon? I didn't stay for church.
You just walked home.
I walked home.
How old were you when that happened?
I was probably about 6 or 7.
Okay. Walked home by yourself.
Yeah.
Just to sit at home.
Yeah, I got a little lonely.
Yeah.
I did.
And do you remember, like, at what point did somebody else come home?
Well, they all thought I went with somebody else, so they weren't worried.
Right.
It was like Mary and Joseph when they lost Jesus.
Except they didn't lose him. They just left him behind. Yeah.
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 But I was, when I got home and was all alone, I was lonely.
I'll bet.
I didn't like it very much.
And so what's your sister's name that was supposed to be in charge of you?
Well, that was my oldest sister, Elsa.
And did Elsa get in trouble for losing Ruth?
No, she didn't.
Oh, okay.
My mother did.
Did Ruth get in trouble?
I'm really curious. Did your siblings, your brothers and sisters, did they get home before your mom and dad?
Oh, yeah, they did.
So it's possible mom and dad never even knew that they lost her.
Oh, nobody. Did anybody fess up to mom and dad?
Well, they did find out that I walked home alone.
Okay.
But I had done that before, walking home from school.
Yeah.
So my mother and they weren't really worried about me.
No.
But they didn't like it that I didn't stay for church.
Well, right.
I would imagine.
That's the whole point of going.
That's right. I only did that once.
Yeah. So just one time was enough.
I didn't do it anyway. I got home and I was lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't like being lonely.
No. No, it's not nice when you're 6 years old.
Especially when you're the baby of 11 kids.
Yeah.
You're not used to being alone.
No, right. That's right.
Yeah.
I can only imagine in that situation. My father was one of 12, but I can only imagine what my father would have done to me if I had been the one in charge and my little sister ran off and walked back home at 6.
Yeah, see, like Ruth, I'm the baby of the family, so it wouldn't have been my fault.
Right. But if I were your big brother, it would have been mine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Certainly. So
depends where you fall in line.
Yes
it does.
So Ruth, the first thing you said shaped you into who you are is family devotions.
Yeah.
The second was going to church,
a
Lutheran church and a Lutheran school. And we've learned that that was largely with your siblings.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating to me that as faithful as you were as a family about hearing God's word together in your home, and that was daily.
Yes, it was.
The mom and dad went to a different church.
Yeah, they did.
And that didn't seem to bother the kids.
No, they didn't. And
the kids kept going to church on their own.
Yeah,
they didn't have to be forced to go, except for that one time you walked home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they all went to church.
And they all loved being there together.
Yeah, they did.
And encouraged one another along the way, I would imagine.
Well, they had their friends going to that church, so.
Yeah.
So it was nice for them, too.
Yeah. So, Ruth, these are a few really wonderful stories.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a little break.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back. Dear listeners, please come back. And Ruth, we're gonna say what the first two things were, and then we're going to ask you what the next one was, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, dear listener, please come back here at Christ in All Things.
For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift.
But it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help make the show self-supporting and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a righteous,
environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straw.
For the useful but perhaps pretentious beverage container that so many of us like to use.
A donation of $200 or more will get you some cheerful on-air clapping. And a pair of excellent Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping. and an elegant Christ in All Things leather folio, handmade by the artisans of the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, fly us wherever you want, and we'll record Christ in All Things with you at your chosen location, within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or call us at 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.